Today we celebrate the mystery of the ascension of Jesus into heaven, the mystery that is that after 40 days of appearances on earth following the resurrection, that Jesus goes to heaven where he sits at God's right hand. So there's a wrong way for us to look at this, and that's imagining that Jesus is really the first one to engage in space travel. The wrong way to look at this is to think of Jesus going up, up, and away into the sky, into outer space, where eventually he reaches heaven, as if heaven were somewhere in outer space. But rather, it's important for us to realize that when we hear that Jesus goes to heaven, what that means is that Jesus goes into God, into God's realm. So this realm would be outside of the world, outside of the universe. It's not within space and time, because that's our world. But God, who created the world, is outside of space and time. And so for Jesus to go into heaven simply means that he goes, leaves this earthly realm to go into God's realm. But I think this begs a question. Should we be celebrating this? Is it a good thing that Jesus leaves the earth and goes to God? Is the ascension bye-bye Jesus? Or as he leaves, does he wave back to us and say goodbye and good luck? There was an elderly man who I visited who was struggling with dementia. And his wife had died a couple years previously, but he couldn't remember that his wife was passed away. So every time his children would visit, he would ask them anew where their mom was. And so over and over again, they would have to say, "Dad, mom is in heaven." And he would always say, "No wonder I can't find her." But this brings up a question. Does going to heaven mean that now we can't find Jesus? Where is Jesus? And can we find him here with us? So there's a really interesting scene at the end of John's gospel that I think is helpful here. It's the scene at the empty tomb when Mary Magdalene is standing outside the empty tomb and she's weeping bitterly. And why is she weeping bitterly? Well, because she can't find Jesus. So two angels appear to her and they ask her why she's weeping. And she's not even bothered by the fact that she's having this angelic apparition. She just says, "They've taken Jesus and I don't know where to find him." And then Jesus comes and stands right next to her, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And so she turns to Jesus and says, "Have you taken Jesus?" And it's at that time that Jesus says her name, Mary. And she recognizes him at that moment. And she responds back, "Teacher." And then Jesus says something that's very strange. He says, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Stop holding on to me." So, aren't we supposed to hold on to Jesus? Is it a bad thing that Mary was so begrieved at her not being able to find Jesus, but then when he's here, now he's saying, "Don't hold on to me"? Doesn't he tell his disciples to remain with him? Doesn't he say that over and over again? Remain with me, remain with me. So I think we have to say that an intimate and deep relationship and communion with Jesus is the very goal of our life and the very goal of our faith. But why would he say to Mary, "I haven't yet ascended to my Father, so don't hang on to me"? So I think it's really helpful for us actually to take a step back and to think of the way that God has worked with his people throughout salvation history, beginning with the very beginning, Genesis, with creation. So we can think of the church, or we can think of the stages of Revelation as ages in the church. So the first age is the Old Testament. We could call it the age of the Father. So the Old Testament is a time when God became increasingly close to his people. And remember, he was close to them in the garden. He walked with them in the garden, but then because they rejected him in the garden through sin, they were exiled from the garden. So now God has to get his people back. And so the whole Old Testament is God's drawing ever nearer to his people. And how does he do that? Well, he gives them the law. He sends them the prophets. He appears to them at various times through angels or taking on different appearances. But then he moves definitely closer to them in the next age, which is the age of the Son. And that's what we read about in the Gospels. So literally, God takes on human flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And now God is walking amongst his people literally. So his people can see Jesus. And so that means they can see God. And Jesus can talk to them, so they hear God. They can even touch him because he has real flesh and blood and he walks among them. So that's pretty close. That's the closeness that we have to one another, is the closeness that Jesus, that God has in Jesus with his people in this second age, the age of the Son. But then the ascension, so this is what we celebrate today, the ascension marks the end of the second age, which is the age of the Son, and the beginning of the third age, the last age, the age of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what we're going to celebrate next Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. But here's the important thing. This is why Jesus can say to Mary, "Mary, stop holding on to me because I haven't yet ascended to my Father." Jesus doesn't want less intimacy with Mary. He wants more intimacy with Mary. And it's not enough for Jesus to stay at an arm's distance from Mary. This is the kind of relationship that we human beings have with one another. We can see each other, talk to each other, even touch each other. But Jesus wants greater intimacy with us than that. So what does he do? He sends us his very own Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? St. Augustine tells us that the Holy Spirit is the love that flows between the Father and the Son. That's pretty powerful. So when Jesus sends us, when the Father and Jesus, where they're now united in the realm of God, outside of space and time, this is the place, we could say, that Jesus ascends to. From this place, the Father and Son send us the Holy Spirit, ushering in the age of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes right into us and gives us union with God from the inside. And so now God can achieve a union with us that he couldn't achieve with us when he simply walked and talked and spoke and we could feel him, but he couldn't come inside of us. And so he sends his own Spirit of love into us. More intimacy is what God desires with us. And this is what he gives us in the third age, the age of the Holy Spirit, or the age of the church. So this is why Jesus said, "Mary, stop holding on to me because I have not yet ascended to my Father. I want greater intimate communion with you, not lesser." And that's what God achieves through the sending of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we first receive the Holy Spirit at our baptism. And then that gift of the Holy Spirit is completed in us in our confirmation. And whenever we receive any of the other sacraments, we also receive anew the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our graduating seniors who are here today in 12th grade, last year, most of them anyway, would have been confirmed and received the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of them. This is God's intimate communion that he desires with us. And so if we've been confirmed, we have this intimate communion of God within us. God's achieved the union that he desires. And he continues then to renew us in this union with him through the other sacraments that we can receive regularly. Sacrament of Reconciliation and, most importantly, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, Jesus himself. There's a great, the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, this is where St. Luke gives us the account of the Ascension. There's kind of a funny dialogue that happens at the end of the Ascension. The disciples are standing on the ground, they're looking up, stupefied at what's just happened. Jesus has vanished from their sight, and now they're looking for him, it seems. Where did Jesus go? Where is he now? And two men appear in wearing white, or maybe they're angels wearing white, and they say to the disciples, "Why are you looking up into the sky?" In other words, you're not going to find Jesus there. But instead, what are they supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to go. They're supposed to go now and to complete the mission that Jesus has given them. And so what do those apostles do? After they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they go all over the world and make Jesus present. Because Jesus isn't just stuck in Galilee and Palestine now, because he's ascended into heaven and he's with the Father, now they send the Holy Spirit, and God can be everywhere united to us in our hearts. He can even be here in Glencoe, Minnesota, thankfully. So it's really important that we see that every gift that God gives us comes with a mission, a responsibility. So God's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. He's given all of our graduating seniors the gift of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, but us adults who are older than them too. And that comes with a mission. That comes with a responsibility. It means that we have to now live the reality that's within us. So first of all, we do this by accepting the state of life that God has called us to. This is our primary mission in life. So for most people, this is marriage. We're blessed to have here Luke and Caitlin Wires, who were just married yesterday. So they now get to live their vocation that God gives them. And so what's the married vocation consist of? Well, it means forming this partnership in life and love so that together they can reach the goal of their life, which is heaven. So now Luke and Caitlin's mission is to help one another get to heaven. And hopefully God blesses them with at least a dozen children so that they can hope, they can bring at least a dozen more with them into heaven. And all of the other people who will be touched by their lives. So what a blessing to be given this mission. And when God calls a man to the priesthood or to the religious life, he gives him a mission. And this mission is to help other people to get to heaven. And all of us, no matter what we're called to, whether we're called to marriage, priesthood, religious life, or the generous single life, this is our mission in life. It's to live out the gift of the Holy Spirit that we've received and to share the Holy Spirit with others through evangelization, by sharing Christ with others. So, brothers and sisters, how blessed are we to live in this third age of the church? Sometimes we can think, gosh, I wish I was one of the disciples who got to see Jesus and hear Jesus and touch Jesus. Well, we will too someday. when we receive our bodies back in the resurrection of the body and get to be with Jesus in heaven, who has his body in heaven. But for now, we've actually been given something greater than those disciples experienced in Galilee 2,000 years ago, the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, God's own presence and life within us. So let's ask God to renew this gift within us today. Let's ask God to give us a new appreciation for it. Let's ask God to help us to feel his presence within us so that we don't just have to believe here in our head, but we actually know it and are convicted of it in our heart that God really lives within us, that we really receive him anew in the sacraments so that we can go and live our mission in the world, sharing Christ with others.